All right, Luke chapter 22 this afternoon, and we feel the same way about Brother Dale and the church here. Everybody but Rebecca Grubbs, where is she? There she is, amen. And we feel the same about Sister Rebecca, amen. Thank you for the meeting, church, and for the good place to stay and the basket and just your labor of love to have this meeting. Only God knows how this meeting helps people. And only the judgment seat of Christ, no doubt, will reveal the impact this meeting has had on families, ministries, people that are discouraged, and people needing direction and instruction. It's not every meeting that you go to that you can get help. It's really not. I mean, there's some meetings that are just battlegrounds. And I understand we have to battle and going to be in battles and been in more than my share of them. And I don't hope I never fight again, spiritually speaking. I know that's not reality, but appreciate this meeting. And it is what it is, first and foremost, because of the Savior, but it's because there's a church here that's willing to allow God to work through. And willing to follow the man of God and his spirit and his example and his heart, and I appreciate that. Luke chapter 22, verse number 7. Can I get some water, Brother Dale? I passed my sickness on to my wife, and I suppose she'll pass it on to our oldest son, and then we'll pass it on to my daughter and y'all. Amen. Brother Dale said we're going to pass it on to y'all. Luke 22, verse number 7, then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house, where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? He shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And this verse always follows anybody that will hear the word of God. And they went and found it as he had said unto them. Isn't that true? I haven't found anything to be untrue that he said to me. And they made ready the Passover. What I want to deal with this afternoon is this thought: we need an upper room. We need an upper room. This is a very critical time in the disciples' lives. The Lord Jesus Christ, in just a few hours, will be arrested and tried and then crucified on the following day. And so they are about to bear the burden of the ministry. They are about to find themselves for the first time in 3.5 years, however long they've been following them, without the Son of God in their immediate presence. So this is a monumental time. Persecution is going to follow. Terrible, severe persecution. They're going to deal with failure and followed up by fear and so many different things that they're going through. And the Son of God knows this is the last few hours he's going to get to spend with them. And just in case we don't realize the magnitude of this upper room experience, I heard one preacher say, John took 12 chapters to talk about 3.5 years. He took 5 chapters to talk about one night. And so there's a great deal of importance that takes place in this upper room. We need an upper room. We need a place where we can meet with God. We need a place that he can prepare us and he can instruct us and he can inform us. We need a place where he has us to himself, where we're free from all of the chaos that's going on in the world and the busyness that's going on. We've got so much to contend with and compete with in our day as far as reaching people's minds, which in turn will help us to reach their heart. And so, do we have an upper room? Do we have a place where we meet with God? Is our church collectively such a place? I mean, a meeting place where we can meet with God and fellowship with God. We meet with one another, we exhort one another, but are we actually meeting with God? Does He today have our undivided attention? Is this place can be an upper room if we'll meet the terms and the conditions. And so I want to deal with that this afternoon, and I give us three thoughts. First of all, finding the upper room. And then secondly, furnishing the upper room, how it was furnished. He said, you'll find this place and it'll be furnished. Verse number 12. Where He sends us, He's prepared for us. Amen. And then lastly, the fullness of this upper room. And I guess you can find the full account of what takes place in John's Gospel. We're going to deal with it here from these verses and just mention some references from John's Gospel. But finding the upper room, how do we get there? How do we find such a place? How do we enter into such a place? Well, two simple things. Number one, by listening to the Lord. Verses 8 through 12. Closely and carefully. He's speaking at this critical time. He's not silent. He understands. They don't yet understand the magnitude of this moment, but He understands and He is speaking. I'm saying this afternoon, we do not come to critical, pivotal times in our life and the Lord is silent. He wants us to make the right decisions. He wants us to go in the right direction. He wants to instruct us and prepare us and minister to us. But we cannot find that place in our lives if we are not willing to listen to the Word of God. The art of listening is a vanishing art in our churches today. We are so distracted. We are so just disconnected with the preaching of the Word of God, and we need to draw our hearts in and we need to draw our minds in, because we don't know what may be coming tomorrow that He's trying to prepare us for today. Listening. Do you listen to the Word of God? Do you hear the Word of God? People that have done studies have said that people coming to a gathering with the intention of listening. They know there's going to be a speaker or a preacher. They know they're going to hear something. Their attention span is about 20 minutes. That's if they intend on coming to hear. And so not everybody comes to the house of God to hear the Word of God, but I've lived long enough to know that I cannot predict what's going to happen tomorrow. I may be knocked off of my feet tomorrow, so I need what He has for me today. Listening to the Lord, but secondly, by following those He points us to. He said, when you enter into the city, there you'll find a man, you'll meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. Now, you're not ever going to have a sacred and spiritual place with God if you're not listening and if you're not following. If you're not listening, then I know you're not following. If you're not listening to your pastor, if you're not listening to the shepherd, if you're not listening to the Sunday school teacher, you are not following. I want to be a follower. I want to find the man, not with an empty picture. He's got a picture of water. He's got what he needs. And if we'll just get him behind him, he'll take us to where God wants us to be. God does not operate in this dispensation apart from His church. What He does in the church and through the church. You will not have a special place like this if you're not willing to listen to the man of God. We've got a lot of people in our day who do not want to be pastor. We've got people in the ministry that don't want to be pastor.
They know more than the preacher, they're smarter than the preacher, or they're more godly than the preacher, whatever the case may be. But I'm telling you, you may think it's beneath you to just go into a place and look for someone bearing a pitcher of water, but you're not too high for that.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Maybe you would like to see a star in the heavens. I don't know. I'm not trying to be smart, Alec, and I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just saying that there are people you know you don't have their heart. You know that you're not pastoring. Which means they're not listening. Which means they are not following. Which means they are not going to this upper room. They are not going to this special place, and they are ill prepared. They are not prepared for major periods in their lives. Finding the upper room. Get behind your pastor. Listening to the man of God. You've got a pastor, amen. God's going to use that pastor to lead you and direct you. He's going to have water. He's going to have directions. He knows the way to the upper room. He's going to escort you to the upper room. Did not the Bible say they went and they found it as he had said? Amen. Now notice, secondly, the furnishing of the upper room. I say again, you won't be disappointed if you do what God tells you to do and you go where God tells you to go. They're not disappointed in the size of the upper room. It's large. He has big things for us. He plans big things for us. I'm not talking about in the sensational sense or in the worldly sense, but it's a big thing to be in this camp meeting. It's a big thing to be in the family of God. It's a big thing for God to take a truth and minister to your heart. It's a big thing for God to instruct you and correct you and to help you and to help your hurting heart. He said, you're going to find a large, large upper room. You know what that says to me? And in reality, our lives were so small before we started following the Lord. I mean, so worthless and so useless. And I mean, here we are down here. He saves us by His grace and He brings us into a large place.
Amen.
He brings them into a large upper room. Our lives were confined to just laboring for here and working for here, for the here and now. So many people, some in this building, you're living for right now. You've missed out on the big things that God wants to give you, living for this very small world that we're in. It's big. I'm not disappointed in what I've found in over 30 years. I'm not disappointed. Praise God. He's so good to me. He's been so kind to me and gracious to me and merciful to me. Every time I open this book, not every time, but so many times I've opened this book and He spoke to my heart and instructed my heart. And He's not just leading me down to a narrow little insignificant lie. He's working in my life to try to enlarge my heart and enlarge my steps and enlarge my coast. A lot of people think they've got big lives. And they're very, very important. And they're just building cities for Pharaoh, for Ramesses. And they're just living for this world. And it's going to burn up one day. Burn up. You'll not be disappointed in the location. It's the upper room. It's always going upward when we follow the Lord. Going upward away from this world, upward in our thoughts and upward in our affections and upward in our desires and upward in our conduct and upward in our conversation. When He found us, our lives were not only just so small, but our lives were so low, weren't they? Hadn't He been taking you up every step of the way? Changed your language, He changed my language, changed my daily activities, change what I do on the Lord's day. Change my priorities, change my desires. Oh, thank God He leads us to an upper room. And we go higher when we follow Him. Higher. Amen. Yeah. It's so sad today how low the conversation level is in America. The filthy language that we hear on a constant basis. Filthy ways about us. I'll tell you, I appreciate Brother Dale very much, seeing your young people and little kids with little suits on or ties or their Sunday best. It's not a fashion show, but this is not a flop house. This is the house of God. And we're dressing everything down and bringing everything down, and let's be casual and let's be nonchalant. And that has affected our worship. Our worship is casual. Our attention is casual. Our participation is casual. He leads us up. Thank God. Not disappointed, thirdly, in the furnishings. There was a table to sit at. There was bread to break and eat. There was wine to drink. You see, being in the upper room, it's about sitting, being still. And it's about listening, is it not? It's about learning and partaking. Now, I'm for camp meeting and I'm for worship. We'll have a camp meeting in a few weeks in June. Love for you to come. That'd be a blessing. And we'll rejoice and we'll worship. But I'm telling you, if we don't sit and if we don't learn, what are we rejoicing about? Isn't that true? I mean, there's a place for worship, and praise God we do it, but there is a place for sitting, just being still. Just stopping yourself and in the presence of a thrice holy God. Does He have our undivided attention? I know some people are just busy, busy, busy. I understand that. But how can you really have any sort of depth to you if you never, never draw aside? And if you never sit down at the table with Him, you never let Him talk to you, if you never enter into communion, He's going to break bread. This is going to be the last Passover He observes with them. I'm just saying it's vitally important that we get an upper room. Amen. Now let me get to the heart of what I want to talk about tonight, the fullness of the upper room. First of all, it was a place of close fellowship. In the upper room, distance is removed from you and God. You understand, we're not talking about miles. We're not talking about where we are on earth and Him in heaven. We're talking about Him bringing us into a matter of inches. We're right here at the table with Him. And that's what we need, is it not? Isn't that what we seek for in our prayer closets? Is closeness. Anytime someone wants to be distant from the church, distant from truth, distant from the Bible, there's always a problem. There's always a problem. And Jesus is saying, no, I don't want you out there. We don't want to be on the busy streets. We don't want crowds and multitudes just intermingling among us. I need some time with you where you can sit real close to me. Doesn't the Bible say, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you? Amen. And so we get close to it. Oh, we can get right at His feet. And I say it reverently, but we can sit at the table with Him. He offers this to us. He's offering this to them. There were times they had to share the Savior with multitudes, and they had to minister to multitudes, and maybe they wanted to talk to Him and they couldn't. But now He's saying, I've got a place. He said, I desired to have this Passover with you. I desire for just me and you to sit at the table. He longs for that. I'm telling you, we've got a cell phone stuck to our ears, and I've got one. We've got computers going. We've got, there's some people that have two cell phones and just busy, busy, busy. And He's saying, stop that and sit at my table with me. Don't you love Him? Oh, when I got saved, and I don't want to try to sensationalize it, but I'm telling you, I got saved out of a mess. And I went home that night, and nobody had taught me about Hebrews being able to enter into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. But by faith, I did. And I found that I could talk to Him, and in His own way, He could talk to my heart. Sit down. You know what the Lord needs to say to a lot of us? Sit down. We don't need you on the platform. We don't need you doing this. We don't need you doing that. Just sit down. Sit down. He has the right to do that, does He not? Sit down. Didn't He say it to, was it Mary and Martha? Which one was it that he sat at His feet? The other's busy. He's saying, she's chosen the right thing. They sat at the table with Him. This close, you get a good look at Him. He gets a good look at us. Notice the second thing. It was a place He spoke directly to them. Verse number 15 of this text. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. You got a lot of trouble with doubt, maybe, just confusion. Why don't you try to find you a place in the upper room and see if He don't speak to you and talk to you. It was a place where special revelations are given. Verse 21. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. I'm not just talking about exposing Judas Iscariot. I'm talking about in the upper room. He can reveal things to you that you may not get outside of the upper room. You're a daddy. You're a pastor. You're a leader in a company. Don't you need some special insight from time to time? Don't you need God to make impressions upon your heart? I'm not talking about some charismatic foolishness, but haven't you been in your prayer closet at times and God troubled you about something that maybe is not pinned down? This person has a need, or you need to get on the phone and call this person, or this person is drifting and straying, going away from God, or even this person is a traitor. A traitor. I mean, don't go in the upper room looking for the traitor. That's not the point. The point is that He can reveal things to us. Amen. It was a place where Calvary is emphasized and pointed to. Verses 19 and 20. You're not going to be in His presence and not sense the cross. And not sense Calvary. And not appreciate what He's done. He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. In the upper room, in a place of private prayer and worship, or in a sacred moment in the house of God, He can make Calvary real to us. We don't need just pictures of it. We need to realize He hung on the cross and He bled and He died for us on Calvary. It doesn't need to be a passing thought. It needs to be something that drives our ministries and our worship. Amen. He shed His blood. I don't know how much blood is in a... And I would say that Jesus was an average-sized man. I would, physically speaking. I don't know how many pints of blood was in His body. 11, 10, 11, 12 maybe. I don't know. But I'll tell you, every single solitary drop was required to wash away my filthy, rotten sins. Peter said, it's the precious blood. Oh, the precious blood. There is a fountain filled with blood. And in this upper room, he's talking to them about his body being broken, and he's talking to them about his blood being shed. He's bringing them to Calvary. He'll do that for us. It was a place where they were reminded of his care over in verse number 35. He's speaking to them, when I sent you without purse and scrip, and he's trying to get this in their minds. They don't yet understand this. He's going away. He's not going to be physically in their company. And they cannot wrap their minds around this. And I'm telling you, from time to time in this life, there's going to be constant changes. Nothing is ever the same. The exact crowd will not be here next year. It just won't be. There'll be a day when I won't be alive and my son won't have me to be able to call. And my daughter and my wife and you know, on and on. He's trying to get this to them, but now he's reminding them, when I sent you out without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? Hasn't he, in our times of prayer, in his presence, at the table with him, hasn't he reminded us of how he took care of this? Now he took care of this. Now he took care of that. I'm just saying, out here we may be troubled, we may be worried, we may be fearful. I mean, life may be just overwhelming us, but we run into his presence and he says, let me remind you of what I've done for you. I brought you through this and I brought you through that, and you were facing a wall and I got you over it, or I got you under it, or around it, or through it. What I'm saying is he's not just wanting our time to waste. When we get there, it'll be furnished. There'll be a teacher there. The blackboard will be full of instructions. I mean, it won't be meaningless dribble written on the wall or things we can't figure out in equations. It'll be verses. It'll be words. It'll be instruction that'll help us and help our families. Amen. Very true. It was a place where he warned and comforted and corrected Simon. Verses 31 through 34. Simon needed to be warned. Simon needed to be corrected. Simon needed to be comforted. He said, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. Amen. And here he is in the upper room instructing us. And I believe with all of my heart, if we would spend more time in the upper room, we wouldn't have near as much time needed to be given to correcting people in the house of God on the Lord's day. That didn't go over too well, Brother Dale. Maybe I need to move into the gear you wanted me to thin the camp meeting out. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you something. You are not spending time in the presence of God if you've got worldly ways about you. Define worldly. We were discussing that earlier. I don't know. I can give you my positions and opinions, but somebody somewhere needs to define it. If it can steal my heart for God, if it can just set me aside in the ministry, I mean, steal my affection, I need to know. But there's no possible way that you're spending time with God in his presence. You do not have a prayer life in the presence of God if you've got a heart for this world. Amen. You want to look like the world. You want to dress like the world and act like the world and talk like the world and on and on and on. Can he not correct you? Can he not satisfy you? Can he not tell you it's too tight, too low, too high? Amen. The man of God, when you come, you bypass the upper room all week long. You come to the house of God. He's trying to preach to you and you haven't gotten the instructions. The man bearing the water is the one you need not to lead but to follow. Amen. We don't need to beat the air. I'm not going to stand in a pulpit and shatterbox. Do what the Bible says to do or get out. I'd rather you do what the Bible says to do. Isn't that what we're in leadership for? Amen. You've got time for this. You've got time for that. You got time to talk on the cell phone? I told him the other day I was preaching. I said, I'm a pastor. And I don't stay on the phone as much as some of you. I'm not trying to be hard. Who are you talking to? About what? Does it... proportionately, anywhere does your prayer time match your phone time? I'm not talking about that I spend hours and hours and hours. I have to live. I've got things I've got to do, but I try to start every day. I try to start every day with the Lord. He's merciful. If something unexpected comes up, we can shift gears and He can meet with us in the car, thank God. He can meet with you at the sink, washing your dishes. But He wants to talk to us, and He needs to correct us at times. He needs to warn us. Satan hath desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Peter, you're not such a big man. You are nothing in the hands of Satan. He'll sift you as wheat. He'll take you apart. Before the cock crows thrice, you're going to deny that you know me. But I've prayed for you, Peter. Oh, a lot of times I go in my prayer closet just to confess and repent. I'm a miserable wretch. You take the grace of God off of my life and I'm a disaster. I will crash. But praise God, His grace is renewed every morning, and His mercy. Just a couple more real quickly. It was a place where scattered disciples came back together. Boy, I like church when maybe the world has scattered us and we can just kind of come back in here together. Isn't that a blessing? It was a place where they waited on the Lord. Acts chapter 1. Where did He send them to after He met with them? He sent them back to the upper room. That's where they went. They're waiting on Him. They're waiting on the Spirit of God to come. They had had a place where their lives could be filled. The Spirit of God could come down upon them. He talked with them about heaven in this place. John chapter 14. He taught them how to pray in this place. John's gospel. If you'll ask anything in my name. He told them of the Comforter in this place. Two of the great I Ams were mentioned in this place. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. They're learning about the Savior in this place. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and transformed in this place. Outside of this place and apart from this place, they were trembling, they were fearful, they were going back to their fishing, but in this place, in this special place, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and God made preachers out of them. Amen. Doubt was removed in this place. He went to Thomas. Remember, he came back. The doors were closed. Now, we could argue, is this the same upper room as the other? I want to believe that it's the same upper room. Wouldn't waste time arguing with you if you didn't believe that. If it wasn't, they went on and had another upper room, didn't they? But here's Thomas doubting, and Jesus, while the doors are shut, appears to him and says, Thomas, reach hither thy hand. Just take your fingers and place them in these nail prints right here. He removes doubt in these places. Our churches, I say again, should be such a place. Our home should be such a place.
He taught them of the second coming in this place. He warned them of persecution in this place. He encouraged them in this place. Greater works than I've done, you will do. I'm just saying this afternoon, we need an upper room. We need a place where we can meet with our God. Give Him our time, amen. Give Him our heart. I was listening to a preacher preach. I'm convinced he knows the Bible. I wouldn't agree with him on a lot of things, but he's convinced that we're going through the tribulation period. He's a post-tribulation raptures. I believe in pre-tribulation. That's my position. It's the time of Jacob's trouble, not our trouble. But I want to tell you something. As we meet right here, we've got brothers and sisters across the ocean that are suffering persecution. And they are being martyred. And their families are being scattered. We don't know what we're going to face. What's coming up. America is not the same America today that it was 3 years ago. It's certainly not the same America that I was born into. Still a great nation. Still the greatest nation on earth. Don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you, as a people of God, we do not know what's coming on us in these next few years. We need an upper room. One final thing. The church grew in the upper room. There was 12 the first time. Now there's, in Acts 2, there's 120. Oh, I'm not just saying numerically, but the church can grow because of the upper room. Amen, preacher.